ser ético, isto é uma crença.
É uma religião muito grande.
A visão é um culto. É coragem, que é liberdade, que é crer, que é vontade, que é o caráter das pessoas.
Calma de quem é grande, maior que os maiores.
É uma paixão com outra explicação.
Eu não consigo explicar o que é ser do Benfica. Eu sinto o que é ser do Benfica.
Mas de facto uma paixão. E as paixões são assim, vivem-se assim intensamente.
Aqui não há nenhuma razão. É paixão, paixão, paixão.
Ser Benfica. Até à morte.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Talking to the Doll Benfica podcast. My name is Alfredo. With me tonight, Cristiano Oliveira, as always. What's going on, Cristiano?
What's up, Alfredo? A pleasure once again to be back here on the Benfica podcast and talking with you lovely gentlemen.
Also back today, Hugo Ferreira. Hugo, what's happening?
Guys, what's going on? Again, pleasure to be on. Look forward to the show.
And as always, our rock from the Great White North, Dave De Oliveira. What's happening?
Nothing too much here in Toronto. It's just a quiet night. No major sports events going on up here in Toronto, but rather be talking about Benfica anyway. So good to be back on.
There you go. So here we are for episode number 321. On tonight's agenda, we will look back, because we must, to the Eintracht game's second leg of Benfica's quarterfinals Europa League appearance. We'll also look back at this game, this past weekend's shellacking of Marítimo às Estádio Luz, rather this past Monday, which counts as a weekend, I guess. It's a weekend fixture. And we'll look ahead to the big, big game, a game that perhaps our opponents have earmarked as the game that we will fall as we travel up north to Braga to play Braga at the Pedreira this weekend on Sunday. So before we do that, let's get right into this Eintracht game. And hey, look, I'll just, and I know that Chris and Hugo definitely want to add something onto this, but let me just give you a little bit of perspective. I'll give you a little bit of a perspective on Benfica and Benfica in Europe. So for us, and all of us are immigrants that are out of the country. And in a country that we live, or countries that we live, both Canada and the U.S., where you get to meet people of all walks of life, of all nationalities, and there's a lot of things that we have in common. We have the love for football in common. So we always praise our club, and we always hope that our club does the best at the European stage. And that's because a lot of people look at the Portuguese league and say the Portuguese league is always a three-horse race or a two-horse race. So when we get a chance to be in Europe, we want our club to do well, right? With that said, when Benfica has the performance that they did in Europe, and I'm not just talking about this past season, but also last season, where we had that shameful performance in a Champions League, it's something that the people that we interact on a day-to-day basis, that we profess our love to Benfica for, and our club in Portugal for, always get on our case, right? So what's the matter with your club? Your club can't defeat this team. Your club is shit in Europe, so on and so forth. So with that being said, Eintracht, right? So there's a lot of conversation. There's been a lot of conversation about what has Benfica given priority to. Has it been the league? Has it been Europe? Cristiano, I'll let you go first. I know that you have a very strong opinion about Benfica's participation in Europe, not only because of what I just explained, but there's a few other factors that you want to talk about.
Bro, I don't even know where to begin, Alfredo. it's just very disappointing. Once again, to see Benfica bow out of a competition that I don't feel, and many other people don't feel, that they put their best efforts into it. And I think that's the most aggravating part. You get knocked out when you give it your all, when you field your best 11, when you make the competition a priority, and you fall short, man. Like, you could applaud the gents, you applaud the guys, and move on to the next competition and hope to do well there. But when it feels, or it seems like that is not the case at the moment, that the club is not prioritizing these competitions like they should be, when you've been a long, lifelong Benfica fan, and I was going to say suffering, but it's like that makes it sound domestic, but it's almost the same thing because you live with Benfica everywhere you go, so it is kind of a domestic. It's very hard. It's very hard to put up with this. You want the club again to represent themselves, and once again, I honestly cannot tell you with a straight face that Benfica once again got knocked out of a European competition with their best effort put forth.
And Hugo, a club of Benfica's history and world prestige, if you will, albeit some of that prestige coming in the 60s, 70s, and perhaps a little bit in the 80s also. Now we're looking at a Benfica that is probably an economy Benfica going into competitions like this with such a tight race in domestically.
Yeah, no, I think Chris pretty much summed it all, summed the way I feel. Again, to me, it's unacceptable. And it's the wrong strategy to approach, again, a club of Benfica's dimension, as you mentioned before. The bread and butter is Europe. It's in Europe that you want to see Benfica perform. It's in Europe that you want to see Benfica play. I understand it's the Europa League, but realistically, right now, unfortunately, that is probably the most realistic competition in Europe for us to win. And I think the fact that we brought a two-goal lead to Frankfurt, I think majority of Benfica Nation was expecting us to progress. And then obviously once you're in the semifinal, anything could have happened. But to Chris's point, what aggravated me about that game was the lack of ambition, the lack of karate, which is a word that we use strongly in Portugal.
We use it in English too. It's called character.
Character. Lack of character that the performance displayed was very discouraging. I expected myself, I'm not going to lie, a lot more from Frankfurt. If you look at it, even Frankfurt, they pretty much advanced going through the motions. And that's really what upset me. Yes, refereeing aside, look, Benfica once again was on the wrong end of an atrocious, atrocious call in Europe. And many people are calling for the VAR. That's a play that doesn't even need VAR. I mean, that linesman should be banned. Plain and simple. And again, we're on the wrong end of a call like that in Europe, but that's still not excusable. We still had a good 50 minutes or so left in the eliminatoria, and we had we banged the goal, we would have been advancing. Again, it's just a lackadaisical performance. That's really the word I'm looking for. And it's just not acceptable for a club of Benfica's dimension. And I don't know who it's coming from, if it's coming from Vieira, if it was Lage's decision. It's unacceptable. And the fan base, myself, we've had enough of this bullshit.
Look, I know. I tend to talk a lot here on the Benfica podcast, and a lot of times it's a lot of nonsense, a lot of noise. I understand that, but the thing that really pisses me off, and as I stated just a couple weeks ago, Alfredo and Dave, I'm not sure you were on, Hugo, but I'm pretty sure you listened to the podcast where I went off on a little rant. You know that every time we get knocked out of a competition, it's okay because we got the Campeonato. Then we get knocked out of the Taça da Liga, it's okay because we got the. And then the Taça da Portugal, and everything is okay. Everything is okay, and it seems like that is ausência, right? That perfection that we demand from our club. It seems like everyone is content with just competing for domestic titles. And lately, the fans, right, especially after Jorge Jesus, the fans have seemed to turn in favor of, not in favor, but become supporters of Made in Seychelles, Benfica producing hot young shots, hot prospects, selling them off to Europe and only competing for domestic competitions, which, I mean, to me, it leads me to believe that is, we're becoming Sporting. That's what Sporting has been, and that's what we've been laughing at for the last 30 years. That, you know, we're arguing about where our players are playing, how much they've been sold for. At the end of the day, we're not winning anything. I mean, we're competing for little domestic competition. Benfica, if you want to be a big shark, you want to be the big club that Luis Vieira keeps preaching about, and every Benfica you meet, right? At least the old timers keep preaching that Benfica is still a big club. You need to compete at the highest stage. Okay, Benfica today, like Hugo mentioned before, maybe maybe a competition like the Europa League today is more suitable for Benfica, because obviously the big differences in wages with the big sharks in the Champions League, I get it. But look, you need to crawl in order to walk. And I think Benfica, using these opportunities in these games, and you're a game away from appearing in another European Cup semifinal where anything could happen. And it just seemed like Benfica did not come into this game on Thursday with that attitude in mind. I thought, again, as Hugo mentioned, look, a good point. Benfica was, again, once again, unfortunately, Portuguese team was once again on the wrong end of a terrible, terrible mistake, a terrible call. And it's asinine to me how the Champions League has VAR, but the Europa League doesn't have VAR. It's the same competition run by UEFA. It's just look, that's another conversation from the day. It's just asinine. But I think Benfica opened the door by the way they came out, and it seemed like to me they were content with the two-goal lead off Fredo, right? We're just going to sit back, and we're going to defend, and we're not really going to try to go forward that much. And if we hold on to a two-goal lead, great. If we don't, oh, well, who cares, because it's all about the Campeonato. And I think by doing that, not even attempting to come forward, I think that opened the door for these dumb mistakes by referees. I think if Benfica went in there and imposed their game, imposed their style of play, and try to play football that we've grown so accustomed to seeing under Bruno Lage, all that shit wouldn't have even been a topic.
Yeah, I'm going to get Dave involved here. So just real quick, going over the game, I don't think we need to go over in detail of what the game was, but just a couple things that I wanted to mention. Dave, three changes in the lineup that aren't usually the strongest lineup that we feel. So Jardel was paired up with Dias, Jetson was on the right instead of Pizzi, and Faiza was in the middle with Samaris. And Dave, we look at this first half, a very poor half by Benfica, especially in the possession.
Of course, in the first half, in the possession, it was 61% to 39% possession for Frankfurt, where Benfica was comfortable with just sitting back and letting Frankfurt control the pace of the game. And I think that's where all of our frustrations stem from, because Benfica is not built as a team to let the opponents come out and play their game. Benfica is a team that's successful when they go out and play their own style of game and let the other team try to defend against us. So we've seen this in the past with this team, most recently against Sporting, when we went into the Avalad with a 2-1 advantage, and we kind of sat back and let Sporting play the game to us. And unfortunately, time and time again, whenever Benfica decides to play like this, we always get burned in the end. I don't know if it's a false hope that we have, thinking that we can go in and just defend for 90 minutes, but it never turns out our way. And sure enough, two away goals in the first leg with the extra man comes out to bite us in the ass. But
yeah.
Now we only got Campeonato to play for this season.
And the aggravating thing, guys, if you go back to that game on Thursday, you saw when Benfica pressed the subject, and Benfica tried to come forward for 10, 15 minutes, they hit the post, they created three scoring opportunities. You could tell the goal was there to be had if Benfica wanted to, but it seemed like they were content just sitting back and holding on to the two-goal lead, and it's a one-goal lead, and then obviously a 2-0 result knocks you out, and it seemed like it was never that desperation from a club that's about to get sent home. I never seen that.
Guys, and just a lack of respect for the fan base. I mean, the game is in Germany. You have tons of immigrants traveling from Switzerland, from France, obviously from Germany, Luxembourg, you name it. I think we had close to 5,000
from Portugal.
The ones from Portugal as well. Thank you, Chris, for reminding me. I think we had close to 5,000 traveling supporters. I mean, the lack of ambition, the lack of respect for that fan base that made the trip, I mean, that is not Benfica values. And enough is enough. Honestly, I speak for myself. I'm sick and tired of this bullshit. It seems like year after year we come up short in Europe, not because of our quality or lack thereof of our football. I think it's a lot to do with our mentality and how we approach these games. And that's not the Benfica that my dad certainly taught me about and my grandfather. Again, I'm sick of it, guys. I'm at a loss of words. I was really upset for a couple days, to be honest with you guys.
this club has become complacent with after winning four titles in a row. I think the fans and the club itself has become complacent, and we're just expecting to become to have greatness happen to us, and we're not going out there and fulfilling all our best here.
Yeah, let me put something to you guys, because just like you guys, it took me quite a bit to digest this loss in Europe. I knew that the 2-goal difference, and knowing that Eintracht is able to score goals, especially in their pitch. Let me just put something really, and this was something that I thought of. We all know in what circumstances Bruno Lage took over the team, right? The team is down 7 points in the league. Didn't have a lot of time with the team to be able to perfect or to be able to work on some of the routines. So I'm sure the prime directory was to get those points back as soon as possible. So Benfica adopted a style that was very aggressive, high press, a counter press, get the ball back as soon as possible, work on quick combinations, work on insurgents to get into the final third. How much do you guys think, and Dave, you brought up a great point, that we saw the same thing with Sporting. When we needed to manage the game, we really didn't know how to. But how much do you guys think that Lage hasn't had the time to perfect the team in a way that they can control the game, especially when they're ahead? I was talking to Steve Santos, and Steve Santos was saying that this team had a problem controlling the defensive spaces or the space in which the team plays in, and they often expose themselves a lot. How much do you guys think that this is something that Lage is yet to really control or to even master or to even get this team used to? And Cristiano, I guess I'll start with you.
I'll answer your question with a question. I mean, has he really had to come up with a system, right, to counter everything you just said, when 95% of the time he's playing against Monku?
Bingo.
You're right.
I'm asking a question. I mean, is this something that – do we know that he's actually trying to work on those things, or did he just ignore it knowing that, look, with the exception of Porto, Sporting, and Braga, depending on which Braga shows up, we're fine doing everything we're doing on a weekly basis. And again – It's look, you could point to many different things, right? Obviously, everything you just hit on, everything you just said, it was spot on. But Benfica, just look at the amount of goals they've allowed this season, which is an astronomical number compared to seasons past. They're not good defensively. Then when you bring in out guys who haven't played over the last couple of months, like Jardel, who was not particularly good in that game, Feja coming back from injury is not good. That doesn't help the situation, but my aggravation is the effort put forth by the team. I get all that tactical stuff obviously matters, and you win games tactically most of the time, okay? I understand that very clear. But my thing is, when you don't put an effort, I don't give a crap about your tactics. I don't care if your tactics are spot on. When you're playing against quality opposition, you have to put in your shift. And I didn't get that from Benfica on this Thursday.
You're good, especially in that first half. That first half was perhaps one of the worst first halves I've seen Benfica play. But how much do you think that's still something that this team lacks in the aspect of controlling games?
Yeah, no, I agree. And again, I think Lage did his fair share in trying to get Benfica to win the midfield, right? He introduced Feza and Samaris playing next to each other. And even Jetson. So that right there is a midfield of three. The issue, and we've touched on it, to me was just the attitude of the players. And at the end of the day, let's not let the players off the hook, right? Big players rise in big moments, and that was a big moment for the club to advance deeper into a competition that, again, realistically, we should be wanting to win, and it should be our ambition to win. And I don't believe in prioritizing competitions. Again, I think that Chris nailed it on the head earlier. That's something for Sporting. I mean, Benfica needs to go out into every competition to win it all and not fear what it could mean for the other competition. But again, to answer your question, Alfredo, the first half was just terrible. Obviously, Feza is out of rhythm, completely out of form. I questioned the decision in Lisbon when Lage introduced Feza, and if you guys recall correctly, it was a terrible mistake by him that led to Jovic's goal. And listen, Jardel, same thing. You cannot field these players against competition. If you guys are well aware and you follow the Bundesliga, it's a high intense league. And those teams play at 1,000 kilometers an hour. Whereas in Portugal, teams play at 50 kilometers an hour. And to introduce footballers like a Jardel, like a Feza, into an opponent like that, that is going to play with high intensity, wasn't the greatest decision for Ruben Lage.
Well,
and again, if you're going to rotate those players, I prefer you rotate them at home against a Maritim, right? Then in Frankfurt against Eintracht. I mean, listen, I'm still very aggravated at this stuff, and I can go on for days. And
Hugo,
I'm sure
to be fair, Hugo. I mean, look, Jardel and Feja have given Benfica a lot. They've been tremendous players, warriors at times for Benfica.
Yes.
Look, let's not act like these guys can't play at Benfica. Now,
Chris, I've said it before, big football clubs need to have short-term memory. You cannot base throwing guys
agree with you, Hugo, based on what they've done
in the past.
Agree with you 100%. But just the way I'm just trying to clarify things that we do appreciate what Jardel and Feja have done. You know, the way you made it sound like is like these guys don't have a spot on the Benfica team today. Look, I definitely question if they're not in form, if they're not playing at the level that the rest of their teammates are, you know, at this stage in the season. I'd agree with you, but I just wanted to clarify that.
Those
guys have been brilliant
those
for
guys
the club
right
over
now
their careers.
Me,
so.
Right now, to me, they do not have a spot on that lineup. I'm sorry, that's just the way I feel. Like, there's no reason why we're rotating a Fer, who's 19 years old, and just debuted in January for the first team. That's our best center back. There's no reason why, in a crucial moment, he's not in the lineup. It's just mind-boggling to me.
Same thing with Florentino. 19. We're in agreement. I just wanted to clarify. I don't want people to think we're knocking Jardel and Feja. Look, we're thankful for what they've done. But today, or not today, on Thursday, that might have not been the best decision. And my thing is this, guys. I'm conflicted here because, as you guys have known me throughout the years, I like to point a finger at things. I like to blame someone. And at this stage, I don't know who to blame. I'm kind of giving you, well, you and I had this conversation. I'm giving Lage a pass because I think this is coming from up top where they're prioritizing the league over an opportunity to make it to another European semifinal. So I'm conflicted, Alfredo.
Let me, let's just put a bow on this European campaign by Benfica this season. And I'll ask you three guys this one question, and knowing what we know and knowing what Benfica went through their season. And I'll start with you, Dave. And you could just a quick answer is fine. Do you feel that this European competition for Benfica was a success or was a disappointment?
Well, looking back at last year, it's a step in the right direction, that's for sure. But the way we dropped out, I think it left a lot of people wanting more. And it begs the question, what is this club's ambitions in Europe? Is it to actually go out and win a tournament like the Europa League? Or is it to just go and showcase players and rotate the squad, get some minutes for guys that haven't been getting the minutes? To me personally, I wanted them to take this competition more seriously. Like we've mentioned, if we're going to be key on rotation, then use a team like Maritimo to rotate the squad. But
yeah, Cristiano,
it's all hearsay now.
Sorry, Dave, Cristiano, Dave. Positive or disappointment?
Dave,
success or disappointment, I should
Dave,
say.
Dave, let me just – it didn't take much to improve on last year. I think showing up and not giving up a goal for 20 minutes was an improvement. I mean, let's be honest. It was an improvement based on what they did last – absolutely. They improved this season in the Champions League knockout stage, right? Or not knockout stage, I'm sorry, group stage. They actually got to punctuate this time as opposed to last season. So that was an improvement, but they still went home. Then they get knocked out to the secondary competition and with an opportunity to make it to another European semifinal.
Yeah, you went. Hugo.
Yeah, no, to Alfredo, to answer your question, to me, it's a major disappointment. Again, we bowed out of the Champions League group stage the way we did. Yes, I understand Ajax is the Cinderella story of the competition. But if you guys recall correctly, and even recently, I believe De Ligt, their center back, said the same thing. He said that our strongest opponent that we faced was Benfica. If you guys recall correctly.
Rui Vitória is Benfica.
If you guys recall correctly, in Amsterdam, I thought Benfica could have won the game. And then obviously in Lisbon, we were unfortunate not to win the game. So there's a sour taste there. You bow out of the Champions League group stage again. And then you get put into the Europa League. And again, for me, the minute you go into the Europa League, it has to be pedal to the metal. You have to want to win that competition. Number one, because let's face it, the club has never won the UEFA Cup, right? So it's a trophy that you're adding to the history of the club that you don't have. And then number two, guys, one thing that we haven't touched on is the club ranking coefficient. We've dropped from, I believe we were 7th or 8th place. We're now sitting at 21st, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, we need to get back our ranking coefficient. And you can't just prioritize competitions and say the Europa League is not important. So to me, to answer your question, it was a major disappointment.
Yeah. I hate to spring this on you guys, but I may as well ask the question. Dave, one highlight of Benfica in Europe for you this season?
Let's go with recent memory and say João Félix's coming out party in Europe with the hat trick against Frankfurt. Low light.
Oh, you don't have to give me a low light.
Low light, I don't know. That low light when it was whenever Rui Vitória was on the sideline in the Champions League with that stupid colored tie that he had on. Like, I don't know. I try to forget that part of the season already.
Yeah. Hugo, for you, the highlight of this European campaign for Benfica?
The highlight this season for me was the victory in Istanbul. Obviously, Laj's courage to field the side that he did. And then the boys turning up that day and having a performance a Benfica, like we say. Because, again, they went there, they dominated the game, and it was clear from the first whistle that the team was there to win the game. And not that lackadaisical performance we saw a few days ago.
Yeah, no, I have to agree with that. That's perhaps for me the highlight of Benfica's European campaign. Chris, you want to take a stab at this? For you, the highlight of Benfica's European campaign for you?
Well, since Tarap was not registered, definitely can't mention him. So I'll go with that as well. I think Benfica, not only fielding a bunch of kids from Seychelles, I believe an average age of 22 or whatever the hell it was at the time, having the guts to go on a road, playing with kids, and then getting Benfica's first ever victory in Turkey, I thought that was impressive. And also have an honorable mention to João Félix, is hat trick at home.
Yeah.
Obviously, we all knew who he was, but I think the rest of Europe found out who he was that day.
Excellent. So now we turn our attention to domestic competition. Benfica played Marítimo this past Monday, and all the controversy surrounding this game. And as you guys had a chance to hear us about Petit saving players, blah 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 blah. Benfica heads into this game, and I'll give you the lineup, and definitely Benfica's strongest lineup: Vlaco Dimas, Almeida, Dias, Ferro, and Grimaldo. Florentino and Samaris, Pizzi and Servi on the wings, Felix and Seferovic up front. 3 minutes in, 1-0. Dave, what did you think of this game? Do you share the feeling that once Benfica scores early, then there's a certain calmness that comes over the fan base?
Of course, there's always a calmness, but sometimes that comes back to bite us in the ass too. We kind of took the, though we controlled the first half, we were very wasteful at times with our opportunities to score a couple of more goals there in the first half. Sure, in the second half, we start converting on those chances, but Seferovic was very unlucky to not even score one goal, where he had about 3-4 good quality chances throughout the entire match. So always good to score. Yeah. Always good to score. Like yeah. Always good to score early to keep the nerves in control. But that also leads to complacency, and that has come back to bite us in the ass. Luckily, in this game, it didn't. But this is a Manku, as Chris likes to call him, Maritimo. We can't, when we play against the bigger clubs, we can't fall into that complacency.
And Cristiano, I mean, Seferovic, we've seen him miss quite a few opportunities, but against Maritim, he couldn't get a load to wash at a laundromat full of with a handful of quarters.
Man, how long you been waiting to use that one, Alfredo? Because usually we go to, you can't score a whorehouse with a stack of hundreds. Now you switched it up on us. I mean, have you had that one in the archive for a while?
No, I just came up with that.
Yeah, but tu eres bom, man. I'm telling you, you're still the funniest guy on any podcast around. Yeah, absolutely. Svetovic, look, one thing about Svetovic that we've learned here so far is that he puts away the very difficulty, the very difficult shots, the very difficult goal scoring opportunity. And he just doesn't do the same with the easy one that we deem easy, I should say. It was not a typical Svetovic game, or maybe it was prior to this season. We don't know. We'll find out next season. But yeah, Benfica still, look, they everyone expected Benfica to do exactly what they did at home. The only question was, by how many? As I've mentioned here on the podcast many times, that it seems down the stretch here, when Benfica doesn't score early, the team starts to press. You asked, Alfredo, funny enough, you asked, when they scored early, it kind of, what would you say about the fans? It relaxed the fans, you said?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think more importantly, with all due respect, forget the fans, that it relaxed the players. And I think that's what's most important. And you see Benfica, when they're playing relaxed, they're a totally different team. They're playing loose. They're playing fluid football, creating opportunities to be in themselves. And as the minutes go on at the Estadio de Luz, and all of a sudden some pressure starts to come over the players, because obviously now it's starting, to creep into their minds. Are they going to score? They're not going to score. You see a totally different team. So when Benfica scores early, man, I mean, it's just a matter of how many they're going to put in the back of the net at that stage.
Yeah, and you go a very short first half for Benfica as far as results. Certainly could have been a lot more than one. But in the second half, Barriga shared goals.
Yeah, no. Again, Benfica, to your point, Alfredo, and to Cristiano's point, getting an early goal, especially at the time of the season that we're in now, where every game is a must-win, really relaxes everybody. And I think you saw that in the second half. Obviously, we expected to be up by a couple at halftime, because I think Benfica's dominance in the game warranted such a scoreline at halftime. But, it was inevitable. It was a matter of time until we banged a couple more. I didn't expect us to win by six, but I definitely expected Benfica to come out with a relaxed performance, put a couple past Maritim, and really get some of that confidence back into the fan base, which obviously was let down by Thursday's performance. But, again, now we shift our attention to the league and to the one objective that is, let's face it, the most important objective for the club. And it's very important down the stretch that Benfica gets these early goals to calm everybody down. And once the floodgates, they say, once you get one, the floodgates open. And that's pretty much what happened with the Benfica Maritim game. And I thought at the end of the day, it was a good performance from the team. And realistically, the expected performance from the team.
Yeah, and João Félix getting on the scoreboard twice. Pizzi, Servi also twice. Salvio getting on a scoreboard. And they've thrown out some numbers in relation to this scoreline and some of the guys that got on the scoreboard.
Yeah, for sure. So you mentioned Pizzi. He got his 12th goal across all competitions. So he's one shy of tying his best 13 goals in a season. The guy's a Manku master, but even him, that goal that he scored, it took a shot, hit a deflection.
It was going wide.
That guy's got lucky balls when he plays these small clubs, because he doesn't show up when it's for the big clubs. But
he's got 33 mocking. Assists, bro. 43 or 53. I don't know.
17. He's got 17 assists. 10 goals, 17 assists. Yeah.
Contra os poderosos. Contra os poderosos é fraco. É o que vocês querem dizer.
But so Benfica now have 10 plus goals. So Ferovic with 19, João Felix 13, Rafa with 12, and Jonas and Pizzi with 10. So not since 1959, 1960 has Benfica had 5 plus players with 10 plus goals.
Yeah, I think in on our goal tally for the season, I think that we're very close to some sort of record also. And don't quote me that, but I thought I read that on the somewhere on the ball that we were very close to some kind of goal output for the season.
We're one goal shy of tying the goal output record, and we still have 4 games to go.
Yeah,
and we have a 124, 125 on the season, all competitions. Which
yeah,
is,
buck
which
25.
Set, which I think that's set. No, we're tied some type of record. We're at 86 or 87, whatever it is, for the season with 4 games to go. I mean, no club's ever gotten to 90, yada, yada, yada. The last club to do so was Benfica in 1970, whatever. I mean, these numbers are historic numbers. It's just too bad we couldn't save 1 of the 6 for Thursday. You know what I mean? I would rather one on Thursday and 5 on Monday.
Yep.
No, I completely agree. So another 3 points in Porto, who had played beforehand, we needed to keep up. But here we are. We kept up, and now we have a super important match against Braga, as I mentioned, the one match that supposedly our opponents have earmarked as the one we're going to fall. Braga has yet to beat um dos três grandes all season. And to be honest with you guys, I'm confident of what this team is capable of, but I'm also fearful of this game, and my approach to this game is very I'm hesitant to really proclaim that Benfica is really going to dominate and beat this Braga team, because Braga still has a lot to play for. Dave, what's Braga up to these days?
Yep, so they've fallen to fourth with 64 points from 20 wins, 4 draws, 6 losses, 3 points behind third place Sporting. Since the new year, they've been on and off. So their last 10, they've got 6 wins and 4 losses, where we saw at the beginning of the competition, they were up there right in the thick of things for the first spot there. So they've kind of cooled off a bit, but they're still considered one of the top 4 teams in Portugal. And hopefully Benfica comes out and doesn't let Braga play their game. If Benfica is going to be successful, if Benfica plays their game, their style, and brings it to Braga, because if they hold back and wait for Braga to come to them, we're playing with fire again.
I have a question for you guys, Alfredo.
Go ahead.
And I mean, I know the answer, but I figured I'd ask the 3 of you. Obviously, he gets his first start since January and scores 2 on this past Monday against Marítimo, as we mentioned before. He started in place of a suspended Rafa, who had accumulated yellows. Obviously, Rafa will be fit and ready to go over the weekend. Does Rafa get his starting spot back, or do we get to see Servi once again in there?
Yes. Yes, he does.
Hugo, I'll let you take that one, because I think we all agree do we call him the Rat Atomic? What's Rafa? He's like the Flash.
Yes, he is. To answer Chris's question, absolutely, he gets a starting spot back. I would say that right now the 2 most decisive players are obviously João Félix and Rafa, especially this late in the season. And given the opponent and the characteristic of the opponent that we're going to play against, I think Rafa will probably be our most important man, because he'll allow us to stretch the game. He'll allow us to bang him quickly on the counter when Braga gives away possession. So Chris, to me, it's a no-brainer. It's a yes.
Yeah, and Hugo, let me ask you this: Braga is currently 3 points behind Sporting. They know that Sporting still has to play Porto on the final match of the championship. How important do you feel that this game is for Braga?
I think Braga already lost that chance to finish in the top 3, only because very similar to the Benfica and Porto race, if they get tied in points with Sporting has the head-to-head advantage over them. So it's realistically, it's a 4-point lead for Braga. Nonetheless,
for Sporting.
So apologies there. Nonetheless, I think Braga is going to give it their all. I believe in Ujog the Mala. I think there's going to be tons of cash on the line for these players.
No, Braga. No, I don't think a Braga will.
I think so. I really do think so. I believe these guys are going to come out heavily motivated, and they're going to do everything to have Benfica drop points. As you guys know, in Portugal there's a lot of game played off the pitch, and I don't see this being any different this weekend. I think Porto views this as almost the final opportunity to potentially retake first place. So Benfica does not have an easy game on their hands.
Yeah, and Cristiano, I'll go to you on this. And Hugo mentioned the controversy, and there's already been a little bit of a buzz on controversy and the fact that when Porto went to the Pedreira to play for the championship, Porto apparently bought a section of the stands so they could have more seats or for their fans than the traditionally allocated ones that the club is forced to allocate. Now, there's already talk that Benfica is only going to be allocated that percentage that the league mandates.
1,500, and Porto got an additional 3,500 to make it an even 5,000.
Right. So what's your feeling on that?
To be brutally honest with you, man, look, I might have a different reaction that'll probably surprise you guys. I really don't give a crap about any of that stuff, man. Once again, these are mind games. These are off-the-pitch games, like you was mentioned, Jogos das Malas, all these different influences. You know they're going to be there. Whether you believe if a Mala is going to be involved or not, that's a totally different subject. But we know there's pressure. There's different people in different people's ears. And you know, all this stuff has been going on since I was a toddler. So to me, it comes down to Benfica has to go there, play their game, win this goddamn game with 5,000 fans or with 2,000 fans or with three people in the stands. It doesn't matter. If Benfica handles their business, all that stuff will just be noise. And I think Benfica will look back at that as just exactly that, noise. I mean, I don't think they're going to wrap themselves up too much into that nonsense, because we know with the football club corrupto, there's always the unexpected is always possible. So none of that will be news to them.
And Dave, understanding how Benfica has behaved in the last, right? We went to Dragão and we played a very aggressive game. We went to Alvalade, we played a very aggressive game. Now we go into Braga, and understanding what the MO has been for this team under Lage, how are you feeling?
I'm hoping that they come out and they come out aggressive, and they don't sit back on this game. Because we've seen when Benfica sits back, they're asking for trouble. They're not a team that can defend properly. They're sure they can beat these Mancos 6-0, 5-1, 4-2. But even when these small teams are scoring two goals against us, that just fuels my fire and my concern when they're playing a big team like Braga, who does have the firepower up top there. It makes me concerned about how many goals Benfica is going to concede, and do they have to go out and score at least four goals to have this game comfortably in their back pocket. But yeah. I hope they come out, score a quick one, calm everyone's nerves down, and just control the game from there, because we all know if this is in the 80th minute, still 0-0, it's going to be a nail biter for sure.
Hugo, your thoughts going into this game? I know you briefly touched on them, but...
No, I'm confident that we're going to grab the 3 points. Again, let's face it, we went into Alvalade with the performance that we had. We went into Dragão with the performance that we had. There's no reason why we shouldn't be confident that we can't go into Braga and have a similar type of performance. I agree with what Dave said. I think we have to dictate the game from the first whistle, because let's face it, we're the ones who have the obligation to do so, first of all, as the biggest football club in Portugal, and second of all, because we need the 3 points desperately, and we're very close to securing the title. So with that said, I'm confident that I think it is going to be a difficult game, but I feel like if we grab an early goal, maybe in the first 20 minutes or so, I think it'll really calm the team down. Braga will have to get forward, and I think we could snatch another one. So yeah, looking forward to it. I was thinking about it already today. I can't wait for Sunday, because the anxiety and turning on Portuguese TV, you see all these programmers and all these. Now there's crap going on with Cesar Boaventura and the Super Dragões and all this nonsense, you know, games played outside of the game. And it just I just can't wait for that first whistle to blow, and let's get this over with.
Look, I think the important thing is we're going to have a fresh Ferro. We're going to have a fresh Florentino. I think those guys, as we saw, and again, against a team that wasn't really expected to pose much threat, against Benfica on Monday, but I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Florentino does a tremendous job of just disrupting anything the opposition tries to do. Same thing with Ferro. I think he's been a revelation back there since his call-up in January. I think that those two guys give and add a tremendous defensive wall back there for Benfica. And so I think I'm very confident in this game. Come Sunday, I think Benfica, as Hugo mentioned, they have the obligation. They need the result. Braga, to them, a draw to them, they're fine. Obviously, they still want to try to finish in the top three, but they don't have the obligation. They don't need a result. Benfica needs to go chase it. And I'm just, again, with those guys back there, I think that this Benfica will be ready to play. This will be a different team than what we saw on Thursday.
One thing that bothers me again real quick, guys, I don't know if you guys noticed, fourth place first again. And this is the first chance that the league has to maybe switch things up, because, again, both teams are already out of Europe. There's no reason why Porto's playing on Friday and we're playing on Sunday, which, again, is just a small factor that's going to influence our anxiety again for Sunday, especially if Porto gets the 3 points, which obviously we all hope that they don't. But once again, Benfica has to play after Porto, and potentially with that added pressure of a Porto victory on Friday.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, and that's a great shout. And that at one point, the league will have to make sure that both games are happening at
Alfredo,
the same time, and not
Alfredo,
only on the last jornada.
Alfredo, they've done it already yesterday, guys. They switched. Yeah. The next three jornadas, they've actually, Benfica and Porto will play on the same day.
Same day and same time.
But not same time, guys. Not
just
same,
same
time.
Day.
Same time. Same day. Benfica, they came out yesterday. I mean, we should have had that ready, especially if we're going to talk about it.
Yeah,
but
no.
Benfica plays first next week, then Porto plays after,
yeah.
And yada, yada, yada. And then it goes back to Porto playing for, 2 hours prior. They're actually playing on the same day, Alfred. They've changed that. They came out with that news yesterday.
Yeah, I've got it here, if guys, if you want it here.
Okay.
So, starting on Saturday, May 4th, Benfica plays Porto Moniz at 1 o'clock, followed by Porto versus Aves at 3:30. Then the next weekend on May 12th, Nacional plays Porto at 12:30. Then Benfica goes to Rio Ave, plays them at 3 o'clock. And then the last game of the season, Sunday, May 19th, everybody's scheduled to play right now
at
11 a.m.
Yeah. Usually it's the same fixtures, same time. But again, to me, it's no coincidence, guys, that Benfica has to play second. I don't know how you guys feel, but I've been around this football for many years, and it's no coincidence.
Yeah, look, I think that the Champions League could definitely explain it a lot. By the Champions League, since Porto was playing on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, Benfica was playing on Thursdays. I get that, but there, like you said, Hugo, there's no reason why the league now should make the games more evenly spaced out, if not in the same day, especially when one team is finishing the game and the other team is getting ready to enter and go and do the warm-ups. I think that's – if you can't have them play at the same time, which obviously because of the TV deals and TV money dictates so much of the league schedule, if you can't have them play at the same time in the same day, at least have them play and alternate, as Dave mentioned, in the same day with just a few hours apart. We're really overlapping each other from the time a team is finishing a game and the other team is coming out for warm-up. So I get that. That's all we got. I don't know if you guys wanted to add anything else. But I think we covered everything we needed to cover. Chris, any parting shots?
Só quer dizer que o Benfica é do público. Não é de ninguém, é do público.
O Benfica é nosso.
Já disse o que eu tinha a dizer, pá.
I wanted to mention one more thing, guys. I don't know. Did you guys catch the Felipe Vieira interview today, by any chance?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we could talk a little bit about that. Felipe Vieira gave an interview, and I think one of the highlights was that he was going to do his damnest or his hardest not to lose any players this season.
Same. Which means they're all gone. Which means they're all gone. No, what I just wanted to mention, the reason I mentioned that is just the timing again. Like, there's no reason why we're 4 games to go in the league. Such a big game coming up in 4 days, and this guy's coming out publicly and giving an interview. And I don't know if you guys mentioned as well, he kind of took a shot at Samaris. If you guys caught that or not, I just wanted to hear obviously everybody's thoughts.
I know you got to think for Samaris, Hugo. But yeah, he was asked about Samaris' renewal.
It's just the wrong timing, in my opinion.
I think. Look, at this point, you got to keep your mouth shut and you got to let the team do its business on the field.
O Hugo não gosta de notícias fora de campo, e depois vai falar notícias fora de campo.
No, não é isso. What I'm saying is. Again, right, the team should be all in on this objective right now. There's no reason why Vieira is coming out and giving Avola a chance to Avola, Jürgen Record the chance to put Vieira on the front cover with more declarações para incendiar ainda mais os ambientes. That's all I'm saying.
But incendiar, at the end of the day, he didn't really say anything to incendiar anything, Hugo. I mean, he talked about his own club.
He took a shot at Samaris, right? Which the press is going to be all over that.
Okay, but look, he said what we all expected him to say.
Wrong timing for me.
I didn't expect him to say that, oh, yeah, we're going to sell it. Look, man, look, it is what it's noise. Newspapers have to sell their covers and have to sell their papers. At least we'd be able to come out and say something. Maybe it was intentional. Maybe it was not. Maybe it was with the idea of sending a parting shot at the Samaris of the world. We don't know. There's plenty of rumors surrounding Samaris. I know you have a soft spot for Samaris, like many other people do, and he's been absolutely lights out since Lodge has stepped up and been named head coach of Benfica, and he deserves all the plaudits that he's been getting of late. But look, that stuff will be taken care of in an office somewhere.
In due time.
Yeah, in due time. I'm not really too concerned with it. What I'm worried about is the game on Sunday, regardless of what the president says, regardless of what anybody says. And I think the one thing about Bruno Lage is that he'll have everyone focused in that locker room.
If you allow me, guys, and I quote, right? Só oferecemos o que podemos e só cá está quem gosta de estar. Isto serve para qualquer jogador. Again, to me, wrong timing for this type of stuff.
So basically translating, we only offer what we can and we only keep players that want to be here. That's how roughly it translates to. And that's a statement verbatim for Luis Vieira.
I don't find anything wrong with that.
Yeah, I don't. Look, man, again, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You don't know what his agent is demanding for the renewal of a contract. Hugo, again, I think
it just brings up more questions for Bruno Lage to answer on his pre-game press conference Saturday in front of these bimbo journalists. Again, it's just the wrong timing for this type of bullshit, in my opinion.
Fair. Do I like it? No, but I think I've spent too much time already speaking about something that I'm not a fan of. So
yes, look. Certainly, there's things that go on in the background that we're not privy to seeing. We don't know what's been requested. We don't know what's being demanded. We don't know what kind of offers are on the table. So all of that, we kind of need to take its course, and in due time, I think that the negotiations will reach a favorable agreement for Benfica. Whether Samaris stays or he goes, certainly this is perhaps the best Samaris we've seen since JJ, and this is 4 years ago. So certainly things are going to be moving along, and definitely I think that Benfica and Luis Felipe Vieira will do what they feel it's best for the club.
Look, man, I get Hugo's point. I do. But again, I'm the type of person, as you know, when I don't like something, when I don't take something serious, I don't talk about it. And do I like that the president has done that? No, I don't.
I just rather, you know, tune it off and concentrate on what's important. As you stated, Alfredo, they'll figure that out. And somebody wants to stay, he'll stay. Obviously, there's rumors linking him with Foco do Porto. Maybe that's gotten to the president's ear. Maybe
Fernando Mendes is asking for him.
Yeah, maybe he's sending a parting shot. We don't know. Look, at the end of the day, I don't really care if he goes, he stays. I care about winning these remaining four games, and then I'll worry about who's here next year or not. As far as the youngsters and keeping everybody, what the hell is he gonna say?
That's all Vieira had to say was, "We're just focused on Sunday." And that's it.
Again, Hugo, you don't know. You're not privy to the conversations these guys are having on a day-to-day basis. You don't know if his agent is threatening.
You're still adding fuel to the fire, Chris.
Maybe he feels that.
These journalists and newspapers will be all over. You'll see in the next few days.
Yeah.
Maybe Aurelius feels that his agent is adding fuel to the fire by bringing that crap up right now.
Yeah. All right, and that's all we have for you this week. Next week, we'll be back. We'll break down this Braga game. We'll look ahead to the true game of the Maleta against Portimonense, if I'm not mistaken. That's Portimonense we got up next. And then Rio Ave, and then Santa Clara, if I'm not mistaken. I think I'm right on that. You can follow Cristiano at Tencio10 on Twitter. Dave at 87DO87. Hugo, I haven't memorized yours, so you're gonna have to share with everyone.
It's Hoofer underscore 10, but with one R.
Hufer underscore 10.
Hugo, there's a tradition here on the Benfica podcast. I normally tell people how to get a good name, you know, a good tag name for Twitter. And the advice I have for you is, brother, you gotta get rid of that 10 because there's only room for one 10.
It's just my name, Hugo Ferreira. That's all it is.
All right, everyone. And at Benfica Podcast is where you could follow us on Twitter, BenficaPodcast.com. Don't forget to visit our sites. All our podcasts are there. We're on Facebook and a few other things, Apple Music, and that's it. Thanks a lot for checking us out. We'll be back next week, as I mentioned, and we will have plenty of Benfica talk for you. So thanks a lot for listening, and see you again next week. See everybody.
Ciao.